John, if you'd seen the people here, there was over 40,000 people here during the war.
Willie, as to your knowledge, and when was the first radio broadcast,
UConn-emanated
radio broadcast?
The first broadcast I can remember was after I came back from the Army in 46. I went on radio then in Dawson City, but they'd had it before then.
Yeah.
Before I left, they were just, before I joined the Army, they were just getting organized, you know, all the people in the community. Why couldn't they get, you know, have a little radio station? Because they couldn't get anything but Moscow, you see.
Well, the first radio station in Yukon was in Dawson then.
As far as I understand, it was, yes. Yeah. It was purely community-minded, no Army or anything connected with it. But then the Americans, when they start shipping their pipelines through on the barges, some of them stayed in Dawson to transfer the freight, you see, from one river boat to the other. And they said they'd get us the recordings. So they got the recordings. We played some of those Christmas recordings, I don't know how many years, and they played them over and over and over, Cricket on the Hearth with Barrymore's and all these kind of things, you know. But they were put away every year.
This is strictly a community involvement thing.
Yes, it was strictly. And every organization in Dawson at that time, there was the Odd Fellows, the Eagles, all of them, they'd all donate money, you know, to buy records. You see, and when they bought the records, of course, at the end, when the station, after CBC bought it down, we had money left. And CBC bought all the equipment. And this money was all pooled. And we gave so much to the school, so much for the swimming pool, and so much to the hospital to buy radios for the fellows in the hospital.
Any idea how much money would you be talking about now?
Well, at that time, when I was manager at that time, we had a meeting, and I stepped down from the chair, and we got Jack Seeley to be in the chair so that I could have a say in what was going on. And we had approximately between $600 and $700 in the, at that time. And then when the CBC, we didn't know this, but they sent us a check later for all the turntables they'd bought and everything that the community had bought. They had the best of everything that the community bought. And they sent this check in. So we called a meeting, and we didn't know at the moment right off what to do. But then the museum society, they needed money, so we said, well, we donate it to them, which was approximately somewhere around $200.
CBC took over in October 1958,
I was the first employee they had in the Yukon.
Is that right?
Yes, there's the two oldest in the Northern Service are Andrew Cowan, the director, and myself. Uh-huh. Andrew Cowan was first, and I was next, according to Mr. Cowan. Now, I'm just going by what he says.
Willie, I was offered I was working with the volunteer station here in Whitehorse, had been for a year or so, and was offered a job with CBC at the time and turned it down. I was working with Simpson Sears. But certainly I knew of you and of what you were doing in Dawson City. We're going to discuss more of the operation in Dawson City, but first of all, we're a commercial station, as you know, Willie, and we've got to take a break and earn some money. The program is Talkback. The number is 667-7891. We're talking to Wee Willie Anderson of CBC about radio, the history of radio in Yukon, and a lot of the things that have happened over the years. We invite any of Willie's friends to phone up, any of his listeners, people still listening to him with CBC, to call in. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 667-7891. And if you're out of town, please call Collect. We'll be back in a minute.
Making a move? Then make it a smart move with Pacific Northwest Moving. Agents for United Van Lines, Pacific Northwest Moving will take care of all your moving arrangements. Shipping, storing, packing, cartage, crating, and assure the freshness of all your possessions because every van is sanitized. Pacific Northwest Moving. They move with care anywhere. Make the right move with Pacific Northwest Moving at 3rd Avenue in Hanson. Phone 667-7252. They do more than just get you there. Pacific Northwest Moving.
Come look at Woolworth, big, brand and new. The fun place for shopping, terrific values too.
During the 8 months that the Woolworth store was in business in 1972, they held a monthly $1.44 day. Its success was largely due to the fact that the Whitehorse customers realized they were receiving honest bargains for their money. 73 is now here, and so is $1.44 day tomorrow, with the doors open at 9 a.m. This is a one-day-only sale, so take advantage of such bargains as heavy-duty garbage bags, a pack of 10 with metal ties, four packs, $1.44. Tea towels in a wide assortment of patterns, three for $1.44. Three-ply Fentex yarn is on sale at three balls for $1.44. And printed flannelette, 3 yards for $1.44. All day tomorrow, one day only, $1.44 day at Woolworth.
It's fun to shop Woolworth, there's more than ever before. In your fun-filled Woolworth store, go Woolworth.
Thank you very much. We're back on the air. Thanks for calling. Somebody who didn't want to go on the air but has a question, which I think we'll leave for a little while until we get into some of the details. Willie, there must be a fantastic number of stories regarding the operation in Dawson City, and a lot of them very interesting and I'm sure very humorous. What stands out most in your mind over the years that you were in radio in Dawson?
Well, it was, I guess it was the spirit, John, of doing. Everybody wanted to be in on it. You know what I mean? At that time, we had a fantastic staff. It's hard to believe. I had 12 married women. You see, the way they used to work it is the married women.
You had 12 married women.
I don't mean myself, but I mean on the staff. They'd alternate. Like, I was just using, for instance, your wife would come on a Monday, and the following Monday, like, my wife would come on. You see, it worked this way. Six women, or 6 days, and these women would alternate. Some of them would play nothing but polkas. Another one, they were scared to talk on the air, but once you got them talking on the air, you wondered, were they going to quit? You know, we had that type, too. And then we had the school kids. They were the same every day. They were on from 4 to 7 in the afternoons, and they'd play rock and roll. We had one girl, Ragnar Nelson's daughter, Sonia. She was a great Western fan, and Dennis Mackey was the postmaster at the time, and she'd play this monitor so loud you could hear it all over the building. At that time, we'd moved to the federal building in the old post office building, and she'd play this Western music, and Dennis detested Western music. You know, he'd go in, would you mind turning it down? She'd say, yeah. She'd turn it down for about 2 minutes. He'd just get back in the post office, and she'd turn it up full bore again. Eddie Arnold, you know, and things like this. And then at nights, we had the different churches. You see, I was shorthanded as far as announcers like yourself, myself, to go on in the evenings. So these different churches, the different denominations, they wanted a program of their own. Like the King Brothers, there was two of them, so they took Thursday nights, and they had a program, I think it was Song Harbor or Melody Harbor or something like this. They had a short religious hour. The Catholics had a short religious hour with Father Karen and Johnny Dines used to do that. And, of course, Wednesday night, you got the pick of them all. That was Mac McCausland. And he used to come on at 7 o'clock at night, and he'd play you one play right after another in the Grand Ole Opry, and that's what you'd get all night. You'd get plays. You'd get Sam Spade. You get all the different armed forces plays. Yeah. This is what
did
he
you
does.
Use the larger AFRS records?
Oh, yes, we used all of those. Yeah. We had a fantastic library of their material.
How many hours a day were you on the air?
I used to go in from 7 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon every day.
Well, did you get paid for this?
No pay. That's the only thing, I see you notice that little button on my jacket. Well, that's all you got for 1 year's constant service. And that's a little microphone, and it's
CFYT.
Yeah. Yes. Which that's the old RCA 44, if you want to know what the microphone is. Mm-hmm. And this is all he got. But, boy, you'd be amazed. These people are just so proud to get one of those after a year, you know. They have a little ceremony, you know, and you get the manager to give these to the people.
You were on from 7 in the morning
seven
till 2
in the
afternoon.
Until 2 in the afternoon. The women were on from 2 to 4, the kids from 4 to 7.
And then the kids?
Well, it's the high school kids, the teenagers.
They were on as operators and announcers?
And they played whatever kind of music they liked. Some like rock and roll, of course. It was just coming in. Elvis was just starting then. And this is all you heard. It was, I'm a hound dog, you know.
You know, that's a fantastic idea, though. Radio stations trying to service all of the population. You had it for 7 hours, and the women had it for a couple of hours in the afternoon, yes. And the teenagers had it for...
Made for variety, John.
Yeah.
You see, and in the evenings, you would have, it was just used, for instance, we'd have Mac McCausland. Well, mm-hmm. We used to have a program. Later, we got records from CBC. And we used to use those. Mac had played so many of those. Then he'd play a recorded program of his own. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday nights, I used to go on with a program they called Willie's Waxworks from midnight right through until maybe 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. This was for the teenagers that were babysitters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd play them anything and everything. They could phone in and ask for anything. One of them, in fact, one that particularly struck my fancy was one young girl phoned in, and we had a program called, I don't know if you ever heard it, Program XXXXXX. It was science fiction. And it's supposed to, the story, I'll give you the gist of the story, mm-hmm. was that this man had gone insane because the lights had gone out and there was no moon shining, you see. And so they were going to take him down, show him what would happen when these moons disappeared on this planet. So they took him down, and you hear this door squeaking open. So at the time the door was squeaking open, I opened the microphone and I let a screech out of me and then shut it off. And his girl told me the next day, she says, gee, that was a good program. Did you hear that fella scream? Gee, that was real. But these are the kind of things you have to do. You do this on the spur of the moment.
And you used to go until you got tired, did you?
Well, Sunday morning, until there was no phone calls. You see, I'd wait, say around 3 o'clock. There's no more phone calls. The kids were starting to get tired by this time, or the parents had come home, and they'd gone home. Well, if from 3 to 3:30, well, you'd shut it off, you see.
Good morning. Talk back. Hello?
He's not there yet. You have to turn his radio down, John.
Oh, fine, okay. That was the golden voice of Reed Burquist.
Okay, are you ready, sir?
Hello there.
Yeah, sure am.
Go ahead, you're on the air, sir.
Morning, Bill.
Good morning.
How come you don't have the Cornball Gazette on your program anymore?
Well, I'm not on the type of program I can use that anymore.
Oh, I see.
What's the Cornball's Gazette?
Oh, it's little sayings that you use,
Like what?
Well, I can't think of one right off the top of my head, but there's one that if you want to make people happy, just mind your own business. Those
sir?
Kind of things. But thank you very much. I realize you must be a Western fan.
Oh, well, kind of, but I used to like that Cornball Gazette because it was so corny.
Well, that was the object of it.
Okay,
then, Bill. Sir, thank you very much for calling. Yeah, you had that afternoon West. Oh, we'll get into that later because I want to stay with Dawson City. Now, the men, I gather, of the community took over from 7 o'clock at night.
Oh, yes.
And normally, how late did they go?
They'd usually go to between 12 and 12:30. If they had a program, they started one of these AFRS programs that was an hour long, well, they'd stay right with it to the end. Like, some of them would start. Normally, we tried to arrange it so that there was no set pattern. But we'd lay out, we'd say so-and-so from 7 to 7:30, and you put the discs out for them. You see, we used to get all these discs, and there was so many CBC we start mixing in when we start getting them. And we had tape machines, the old, Magnacorders is what we had. And they used to do a little local. Joe Gartside was alive at that time, and he used to go up and do the curling, which was quite a thing there because we thought that was fantastic. People could hear the curling going on and... get the reports on it and everything, because they used to have quite a...
Could they broadcast from the curling ring?
They tried it, but the phone lines were very poor, John. Yeah. It isn't like nowadays where you can hook into a phone and just clip on a phone line and away you go.
That was the only way back then of doing
a
remote
was
through
to,
the telephone.
What we used to do is we'd tape a lot of it, of the main game. Like, it'd be played early in the evening, and then they'd put it on, say, it was finished by 10 o'clock at night. Well, they'd put it on at 10 o'clock at night, and everybody was home. We listen to this, you see.
I can remember back in 57 doing 3 innings of a ball game on remote through a telephone line before I found out we weren't on the air.
Oh, yes, this happens. I've had that happen to myself. I went down to a church broadcast one time right here in town with CBC, and I'm nattering away to the fellow at the station, telling him, everything would be okay. It's all set up. How was I coming through? And I heard his voice, fine. But what happened was, when the choir came in, they walked on the floor, and the floor came down, and the nail went through the line and cut the line off the air. And Ed Carey was just about going berserk at that time, running around looking for what had happened. And we traced it out, and it was up at the church with the weight of this nail going through the line. We'd short it right out. But you could hear everything until the choir came in. And then as soon as the choir walked in and across this porch on the floor, and that was right up in Camp Tekeny at the Army Chapel.
Tell me, Willie, there must have been some outstanding experiences occurred on radio while you were there. Now, first of all, were there any rules or regulations that you follow? Who set the policy? Was CRTC involved and so forth?
Oh, no, there was no commission. And you could pretty well get away with anything, you didn't get too wild on the air.
Yeah.
First, you asked them, to use their own judgment. We tried, the way it was worked is we tried to make it as close as we possibly could to what outside broadcasting is. If you understand what I mean, you try to program it so that you'd have something for everybody in the evening. Like, you wouldn't have all plays or all this or all that. You'd break it up, with different types of things. Like, we had Grand Ole Opry, and it was running out of your ears, but we'd only play one, a night. They had enough there they could play for a week if they wanted to.
Did you ever get into any real problems on the air?
Oh, we got in the odd one or two, you know. Somebody would go down there, and they'd show up, and they'd get everything all mixed up, and they'd leave the microphone open, the phone's ringing, and you couldn't hear what the program was. You hear them talking on the phone, be talking to girlfriend, lovey-dovey, and all this stuff. It all happens. Even some of the best of them do this.
Willie, that leads me right into the question of our caller. She says, she asked me if you knew the date of a Saturday night on CFWH when you used the choice four-letter word a couple of times.
No,
apparently,
I don't,
you left the mic open.
Well, no, that was inadvertent. That wasn't done purposely.
No, I understand.
These people, you know, that remember this are the type of people, you know, they won't phone in if a program is good, but they phone in if it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, they don't pat. You see, people, John, in radio don't realize that if you phone a radio announcer up, regardless of who it is, and you give him a little pat in the head and you say, my golly, that was a nice program, and you play something like that another time, he'll kill himself to do it for you.
Yeah, to do a good job,
But it's when they phone up and they say, why don't you take that program off? It's terrible. And you can't probably, like we can't over there, do this because for the simple reason we might be on network. Just the same as you are, you're playing an hour program that you're paid for. You can't chop it off because somebody doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. You're paid for that hour, so you naturally have to leave it there. And you feel bad about it. But if the person would phone up, like even on your own, and tell you, you know, that was a good talk back or something. You feel good about it.
Makes quite a difference.
Yes.
Good morning, talk back.
Yes, John, I hear you have Wee Willie there.
We certainly do.
Good. I happened to be removed from the radio, but I knew he was on. Bill, I just want to make a comment on your appreciation for maybe a little different class of music than we often get over the air, and I think that you do make a tremendous contribution in covering some of the classical and other music that we very rarely hear of and very rarely hear comments on from other radio announcers. They are often well up on the pop program, but I understand you personally have quite a repertoire of classical music and that in your own home, too.
Yeah, I was going to ask Willie about that. I had it down here. I knew he has a really extensive record collection, but Willie?
Thank you very much, sir. The reason I like classical music is because the way I look at it is people do get tired of nothing but the top 50. If you hear it every day, every morning, every afternoon, and every evening, not casting any illusions at any particular announcer, but it does get boring to a lot of the people around my own age and people that like good music. It does. It becomes very, very boring. But I don't mind doing this. In fact, I get a great kick out of it. And my greatest critic, of course, is my wife.
Yeah.
She likes good music. And when I used to do a program that was called Music of the Masters, this I recorded all myself. And my greatest critic on what my repartee about the record was my wife. It had to be just right or else, you know, it wasn't done.
Sir?
Good. Well, okay. I just wanted to make a comment there.
Right.
And, we appreciate it, and Bill's even gone out of his way to give a phone call once in a while and say such and such is on, turn in and tune in and listen to it, even record it if you have your tape recorder handy, and this is really nice.
Well, thank you very much for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. You do have an extensive record collection,
I
understand.
Oh, yes, I have quite a few, John. I can't keep track of them. I can't keep track of all that I have, but I know where everything is, you see, and the way I get lost with my own records, of course, my wife will tell you that we have tried, or I have suggested, I should say, that we'd, put them all down and file them.
Catalog them all,
and we'll get around to it someday, maybe not right now, but someday.
Good morning, talk back.
Good morning, Ruth Challen.
Hi, Ruth.
I just wanted to phone up and say I used to help relieve on the radio in the early 50s up in Dawson.
Yes, I remember that, Ruth, very much.
Oh, do you now?
Yes.
Those were the good old days, weren't they?
Oh, yes, we had lots of fun in those times, especially if some woman would phone up and say she had bread in the oven, could I get a hold of somebody else to take her place, which sometimes I couldn't do, and I had to do it myself, but it didn't happen too often. The women were very, very good.
And do you remember when I played the stranger in the shooting of Dan McGrew for two summers up there?
Oh, yes, these things, you know, are all way back in history, but they're all remembered. I can assure you.
They are absolutely wonderful, and I love Dawson. And, John.
Yes?
I have to put you way back in the corner because I was on TV here when it first opened.
On TV?
Yes, with the Marshals when they first opened.
Yeah?
Yes, but I didn't do the job you're doing. And good luck.
Thank you very much, Ruth.
Thank you very much for your courtesy.
Right. Bye-bye now. Yes. We got to take another commercial break. A reminder to our listeners that the number is 667-7891. Our guest is Willie Anderson of CBC, talking about the early days of radio in Yukon. The program's Talk Back. We'll be back in a minute.
The Firestone Tire Center at Whitehorse Motors is a deal to end all deals on tire repairs. Just $1.49 for a car tire repair, which includes a free tire inspection. For those of you driving a half-ton or three-quarter-ton truck with split rims, the price is only $2.99. Wow, what a deal! And it's on right now at Whitehorse Motors Chevron Service Station or the Firestone Tire Center at the corner of 4th and Wheeler. If you're in the market for new tires, Firestone is the right tire, and Whitehorse Motors is the right place. The special offer on tire repairs ends January 22nd, so take advantage of it now.
Pick up Kentucky Fried Chicken, really finger-licking good. It's a treat every family enjoys. You love Kentucky Fried Chicken from the secret recipe made by only Colonel Sanders and his boys.
There's something very special for the whole family on Tuesdays. It's Helen's Chicken Village Family Bucket Special. Enjoy a bucket of that finger-licking good Kentucky Fried Chicken, a dollar box of golden french fries, 16 ounces of creamy coleslaw, a half pint of country gravy, 5 buttermilk biscuits, and a quart of orange, lemon, or grape drink. Enough to feed 5 to 7 hungry people for just $6.30, regularly $8.20. Treat your family to the Family Bucket Special, Tuesdays only till rendezvous at Helen's Chicken Village. Phone 77755 or 77757. Helen's Chicken Village.
Yeah, we just had a phone call from somebody off the air who didn't want to go on the air with us and was asking about, if you recall, somebody who went on the radio, either in a ham operation or on the radio when it was set up there, who used to read the comics to the kids and describe what the pictures were?
No, I don't remember of anyone, John, but there were at the time when Chuck Gray, went on with this oscillator on his radio. There was also another man, he's now passed on, it was Dunk Strachan, and he used to come on, and he added to his, and he put a microphone on his little oscillator that he had, and probably he could have done it.
But at that time,
I don't know, because there was two or three other people, that had oscillators on their ground phones that used to play records too, that people would pick up during the day.
Willie, it seems to me that you spent an awful lot of time as a volunteer radio operator in Dawson City. Did you have a regular job?
Yes, in the summer. Yeah. I worked all summer, and then in the winter there was nothing to do.
Oh, I see.
And I'd be there all winter. I've gone down there, it was 64 below. If you've read the papers, Archie Gillespie was telling about the time when I went into the Penguin Cafe, and it was 64 below, and Mitch was cooking on the stove with mitts. He had mitts on, believe this or not, on his range, and cooking the hotcakes, and I had my mitts on eating them when he was throwing them right off the stove. The plates were cold, everything. He'd put them right on top of the stove. They wouldn't even get hot. Mm-hmm. It was that cold. You see, because the cooks then, he didn't know it was going to go this cold because it dropped that quick overnight. You see, it being about 20 below, and then the bottom just fell right out. Yeah. And then you get these things, and you go down. And at that time, we'd moved into the federal building. That's the old federal building that's there now, the administration building. And you go down, and it was nice and warm in this building. And you didn't notice it.
Who looked after the technical aspects of the operation?
The signal corps. Red McLeod was there, and before him was Chuck Gray, was the technician. He used to go up and look after the transmitter and other odd jobs, hook up the equipment and everything. And Red McLeod, when he came there, he was the RSM. And one time the transmitter blew through a mouse getting into the transmitter building, and he crossed over the one of the pieces of the equipment, and it burned him to a cinder, and it blew it out. So Red McLeod phoned me up, and he said, there's no sense you going on the air because you can't get on because this piece is blown out. Yeah. So he said, I'll have to send to Edmonton. You see, it was all gratis. They used to do all this themselves, the signal corps. And so he went over and he took the one of the pieces off his own transmitter. He had a transmitter of his own, a 500-watt short wave of his own. He was an amateur operator. And he took it up and he replaced ours with his. And we got back on the air within about 10 hours, I think it was. But it was fantastic, the cooperation you got out of the signal corps.
Talk about a bitter mousetrap. Good morning, talk back.
Good morning, I'd like to talk to Wee Willie.
Go right ahead.
Well, let me see him on the TV. That's better. Hello, Wee Willie. It's the first time I've ever seen you.
Is that so?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well.
I used to be one of your best fans, I think.
Oh, thank you very much.
We used to send you red letters.
Oh, boy, red letters. Uh-huh, that was a red letter day.
Yeah, that's right. We sure wish that you could be on the... on CKRW instead of CBC so we could hear you. We don't hear you very often Sunday mornings, and we miss your afternoon program.
Well, the programming was all changed around, and I was moved from being on the board so often, I was moved to programming, which is a little different job now, and I'm on only on weekends.
Well, I sure miss it. And you know that song, Bonnie Guitars Leave the Weeping to the Willow Tree?
Oh, yes.
Well, CKRW's never heard of it, and they'd love to have a recording of it.
Well, if I can find it, they certainly can get it.
Okay.
How do you know they never heard of it?
Because I've asked.
Oh, is that right? I know the song.
I'm a real Western fan, you know.
Oh, is
And every so often I'll phone up and ask for a certain song, or I talk to them quite a bit, too.
Yeah. You should get John to sing it. He says he knows it.
Yeah.
He's got a beautiful tenor voice, you know.
It's a beautiful song, that.
So have you with your big Yahoo.
Yeah, I was going to ask Willie if he would do his Yahoo. It's Western Roundup time.
No, I can't now.
Can't do it anymore?
My throat's out of shape now.
Is that right?
Yeah, you've got to do it every day, you know, regularly.
I'll never forget coming back to the Yukon after I'd been out at university, and I was driving back over the Alaska Highway. And I swear, I just got over the border where the big sign is, and I turned on the radio, and I heard, Yahoo! It's Western Roundup time, and there you were, and I knew I was home.
Yeah,
that's right. Then you know you're home when you hear him on the radio.
That's for doggone
sure. It's too bad the CBC doesn't let him come on every day.
Ma'am, thank you very, very much for calling. Okay. Certainly appreciate it. Reminder, if anybody else wants to call, ask a question, or make a comment, 77891, Wee Willie Anderson is our guest. Willie, CBC took over in October 58. They took over the radio station here in Whitehorse and the one in Dawson.
Yes.
How long did you stay up there as manager?
I was there from the time they opened, and we came down here in 1961.
Mm-hmm.
We moved down here. Just about a year. No, about 1960 we moved. We were just a little over a year there before we moved down here.
Quite an adjustment, I would think, from having a freelance operation to...
I'll tell you, John, it's a funny thing. You seem, I don't know, it's something about radio that rubs off on you. I don't know what it is, but I got into the swing of things, and of course, the wages I was making then, starting with CBC, was a lot different than I was making when I was working outdoors, Schmidt and Franklin, 60 Mile, and all these different operations, a lot different. But I've never regretted it. I've had lots of fun in my time. I've done some foolish things, I guess, and we all do. But nevertheless, I hope people forgive me for this. But the idea in radio is regardless, there's programs, even yourself, using for an example, is there are programs that you don't like that are on the air, too. But there's nothing you can do about it. You see, what CBC is different than public radio, you know, with your radio, is that if we have we have certain programs that we're told we have to carry. This is compulsory, you see, as part of the setup.
This is unfortunate, I think, that because of the big bureaucracy, and it's one that's being paid for by our dollars, so I'm not... talking about the local operation at all, but I know that you fellas are told to play certain programs because it's good for you, sort of thing, instead of them saying to you, what do the people up there want? Good morning, Talkback.
Good morning, John.
Hi.
Mary Keogh speaking.
Yes, Mary.
I wanted to say the first time that I saw Wee Willie, I thought he would be a great big huge man. It was in the hospital. And he was very charming. I met his charming wife. And I've never met a more interesting personality. And I've always enjoyed his radio programs. And I say God bless him in the year of 1973.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks very much, Mary, for calling.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah, we should maybe talk about where you got the name Wee Willie Anderson. You used to be considerably larger than you are now.
Oh, I was quite fat. I was about 210 pounds at one time, believe it or not. And, where I originally got the name was when I was small. My mother used to, it's a famous Scotch saying, you know, if your name is Willie, they call you Wee Willie Winky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a favorite saying of your parents. Well, Wee Willie, and there's so many Bills and Johns and Jacks, so I thought, well, I'll have something a little different. So when I had this waxworks, as I call it Wee Willie's Waxworks, and it stuck.
Yeah, it's a name that certainly has stuck, hasn't it?
To show you an instant, you know, it's a funny thing about this name. Going downtown on a Friday, which when I was working for CBC, I used to do all my book work on Friday morning, you see. The other announcers would trade over so that we... they'd get so many nights to go at the show, and then Dennis, he was on afternoons, he'd go on Saturday morning, you see, Saturday and Sunday morning, when CBC took over. So when my wife and I'd go shopping on a Friday, we'd be walking down the street, and all these little youngsters, you know, would be at the side of the street, and they'd say, "Hello, Mrs. Anderson. Hello, Wee Willie." You know, it was never Mr. Anderson. It was always Wee Willie, and this stuck.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
So you moved down from Dawson to Whitehorse in 61. How long had you been in Dawson?
I got there on March the 12th, 1937. Of course,
so
I was
you'd spend all of your time pretty well in
Dawson. Yes, outside the years I was in the Army, most of my time around that part of the country.
Yeah. Well, how about the adjustment from moving from Dawson to Whitehorse?
Well, I'd lived in the big city before I ever come to Whitehorse.
Yeah. Good morning, Talkback.
John?
Yes?
Fred Cook here from ex-Dawson City.
Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Fine, John. I just went up to say hello to Wee Willie, an old friend.
Yes.
And tell him how we appreciate his programs. Especially when he brings it up like with Dawson, it brings back good old memories. And the wife and I certainly enjoy them. Nothing much I want to say about anything else.
Fred, you were first in Dawson when I met you. How long were you up there?
Well, I lived in Dawson just over 25 years.
Is that right?
25, 26 years, John.
So you remember the early radio up there,
right? Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember all what Bill was saying about it there.
Yeah.
And I can bring up a lot of memories there, very pleasant memories of that time, and I will say that Bill sure did a fine job. He sure worked hard up there.
Yeah.
He mentioned a little while ago about, some of his announcers, and he really had his problems, not, his fun problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once Mr. Holland, Jack Holland, was principal of the school, and Mr. Holland was, his English was very perfect, sort of. And one of the announcers, it was cold weather, and I might even drove Bill down there. I used to drive him down there in a taxi. They announced that we're going to school, and this fellow came up and he says, "Mr. Holland wishes to announce that there ain't going to be no more school tomorrow." Remember that, Bill?
Yes, that was Joe Turchinski.
I just told the wife that. I wasn't going to mess you any day.
Well, the same, probably you remember Mike Chefko. Of course, he's passed on now. But he came down to the station one time when Jerry Meyerhofer and I were on the early morning shift. And he said, "Gee, this is a soft job, community announcer." He says, "Nothing to do, just sit here, play records and everything else." So Jerry said to him, "Well, there's the card for the introduction to the station to bring it on the air. Now, would you read it?" So Mike says, "Okay." So he picks up this card we had. And at the end, you said, "Owned and operated by," you see. So he's reading it off and said, "Give your name." He says, "Mike Chefko, and this radio station is owned and operated by the Royal Canadian Corps of Signals." I says, "It's not corpse, it's corps." He says, "Well, it says corpse here, doesn't it?"
Yeah, that was Montreal Mike.
Yes, yeah. Mike Chefko.
Yep, right.
Montreal Mike. Fred, thanks very much for calling.
Well, good luck, Bill.
Thanks, Fred.
Really appreciate the calls. Montreal Mike,
Oh, there was lots of those characters, John, around there that you had, that you met, these different people, you know. There's so many of them. I can't remember them all, except there's one. Now, this will probably bring a chuckle to you. At the time when I first went there, I first went to work at the Occidental Hotel after I was there just about a year. This was in the spring of 1938, and it was in March, and some young fellow had come in from outside. Of course, that time I figured I was a sourdough by this time. You see, I'd seen the ice make and break, shot a squaw and killed a moose and all the rest of this jazz. And anyway, we were sitting in the lobby, and there was all these old pioneers were sitting around the hall, and this kid says to Charlie Stone, you see, there's a big window there, and you could look out in the street, and he says to Charlie Stone, "What are all these fellas dressed up for, Charlie?" "Well," he says, "my boy," he says, "they're going to bury one of the pioneers today." He says, he was pretty well on. He was 85, and he said he died the other day, and so we're going to bury him today. He says, "But, Mr. Stone," he says, "you told me that the ground is frozen right to bedrock." He says, "That's right." He says, "But, he says, what they do is they make an arrangement with the undertakers to put their feet together and point them like a post," he says, "and then they thaw a round hole." And he says, and he looked out the window, and Ragnar Nelson's brother just came out of the garage, and he had one of these big stave hammers. I don't know if you've ever seen a big round wooden hammer, wooden mallet. He came out with it, and he says, "There's the fellow that puts them in their graves." So this kid's eyes just about bugged out of his head, and he says, "What do you mean?" "Well," he says, "what they do is they stand them up in this hole, and when the man with the book says the good word," he says, gives him the signal, he says, "he just drives him in like a fence post, This poor kid, I don't know whether he believed him or not, but he was...
He was wondering. We're talking to Wee Willie Anderson of CBC about the early days of radio. I should really say of Dawson Radio and of Yukon Radio. More appropriate. The program is Talk Back. The number is 77891. If you have a call or question or a comment, please give us a call. And if you happen to be out of town and have something to say, call Collect here at Talk Back. We'll be back in a minute.
Hogan's now has the new Honeywell Preview Projector, which allows you to view slides without a screen. You can also load, sort, and edit faster with Honeywell's Preview Projector. Hogan's has complete information on all the special features and accessories of this amazing new projector. Bring in a tray of your favorite old slides. Try it out on Honeywell's new Preview Projector. You'll be impressed.
Anyway, it's labeled Melita Cleaners does it best. You can trust your cleaner, and Melita Cleaners does it best.
Gualita Laundry is offering a cleaning special from January 8th to January 20th. You can have drapes, bedspreads, sleeping bags, blankets, and sweaters cleaned for 20% off. If your clothes have suffered any mishaps during the holiday season, give them new life. See Gualita for alterations, repairs, and a complete laundry and dry cleaning service. Your clothes will look better, and so will you. Gualita is open daily from 7 a.m. to 5:30, Monday to Friday, Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Drive right up to the door. There's ample parking. Gualita is located at 3rd and Alexander, phone 77318 or 72789.
Anyway, it's labeled Gualita Cleaners does it best. You can trust your cleaner, and Gualita Cleaners does it best.
Good morning, Talkback.
Good morning, John. This is Willie Thompson speaking, known as Bill. I want to compliment Willie.
Willie Thompson.
Yeah, no, not we. That's okay. Willie Anderson. I want to compliment Willie on his wonderful Sunday programs, which I've always listened to. And now they work on Sunday mornings, I miss them. It's Western Roundup. I'm not a Western fan, but I used to love to hear him say, Yahoo! And I enjoyed it so much.
Bill, I thank you.
There aren't many programs on the air that one appreciates. Mm-hmm. And I just very seldom think of the radio unless I think, oh, well, Willie's on or John Dumas is on. That's your hour. That I won't miss.
Well, thanks very much, Bill.
That's all. I just want to give you compliments on wonderful programs.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Cheerio.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Willie, do you still have your morning program?
On Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
From
what time?
Six on Sunday, or Saturday, and then on Sunday I start at 7.
In the morning.
In the morning.
You go to when?
Noon.
You go to noon?
Yes.
But there's network programs as well.
I'm on normally from about, on Sunday, it's from 7 to 9.
That's when you get live music. Yeah, right. That's when you get the good
music.
On Saturday
it's from 6 to 9:30.
Yeah. Good morning, Talkback.
Willie Anderson?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you know Black Mike?
Oh, yes, Mike Winage. I know him very well.
You do, eh?
He's still alive, ma'am.
Is he really 103?
Now you ask Bill Hutch. He says no. So I have to go by what Bill Hutch says. I don't know the man's age, but he seems to be just the same now as when I first met him in 1937.
Oh, yeah, we saw him last summer. My husband was up in the Yukon in 49, but he seems to be failing a bit since last summer. He's getting thinner and a little bit slower walking.
Yes, he is one of the best
men. Can't understand it. He's only 103.
But he is still one of the best men for raising houses. You know what I mean? Down there they have houses that he... In fact, he went to Fred Cayley's when his store, due to some happening, I don't know what happened, but his store that he's in now shifted off the blocking that was underneath.
Oh, yeah?
And he was going to have to get... he had some contractors come in to look at it, and they said, oh, it's impossible. They'd have to move everything out of the store.
Yeah.
And Mike told him, no. He says, I'll move it. I'll put it back on there. And
is
he told him
right?
What to charge. I don't know what he charged, but he lifted up, and he never took a can off a shelf or anything else, and no cans fell.
Oh,
and he lifted it up and pushed it back. I think it was off 6 feet or something, or 4 feet or something, and he fell right off the post, you know.
For heaven's sake.
Oh, he was very good at that.
Yeah. Okay, then, Willie. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Yeah, I've known Black Mike for 15 years now, and not a change in him.
No.
Notice.
No, there's some of these fellows, you know, the man I knew, to me, was the most fantastic man, was Tom Hebert. He was over 100 when he died. He came into the Yukon in 1894. He brought 250 dogs in for the mounted police at Fort Constantine. That's downriver.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried many, many, many times to interview him.
Mm-hmm.
To him, it was just a big joke.
Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't tell you, something.
How long ago did he die, Willie?
He only died a few years ago. Yeah. His birthday was on August the 17th, too.
Were you able to get a lot of these fellas on tape?
Oh, yes, I have quite a few on tape.
Do you have your own tape library?
Oh, yes.
Must be fantastic.
In fact, I sent most of them. There's a lot of them that were destroyed when I sent them down east. I don't know what happened, whether they had a fire or something happened, but everything we taped in Dawson at the time I was there, everything, regardless of who it was or where it was or what it was about, we used to send it to the archives, and the CBC archives, and they used to keep them. Well, somehow, inadvertently, something happened to them all, and they disappeared. I don't know what happened.
Good morning. Talk back.
I just wanted to say something to Bill.
Go ahead.
An old friend of yours was a next-door neighbor of yours in Dawson City there.
Oh, yes?
And I was thinking how whoever got home first cooked supper.
Oh, yeah, see, this was quite a common occurrence. I had a fella tell me, you know, I invited him in for tea one day, and he went downtown and told Fred Cayley that I used to hang the tea bags up and dry them out so he could give him tea. He said, it's so weak.
No truth to that, though.
Oh, no, 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 I don't think so.
You lived in Dawson City, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Did you? Oh, yeah.
So you remember Willie's radio days up there?
Oh, yeah, very well, yeah.
Oh, he had lots of fun in those days.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for calling.
He put in plenty of hours, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I guess so, eh? Yes, sir, thanks very much for calling.
Yeah, well, this is Bill Ford, anyway.
Yeah, all okay, right, Bill, thanks very much.
Okay, well.
We'll see you now. Bye. Yeah, Joe Craig used to do the same thing down here during the 50s,
mm-hmm.
particularly. Joe put a lot of time in the White Horse Volunteer Radio Station.
You know,
he was the early morning man.
You had no special hours there. You know, sometimes some woman would phone you up, and she'd say, well, I can't make it, my youngster's sick, or something like this. And you say, well, that's all right, I'll stick it out for another couple hours till the kids come in. Well, the kids, if they knew I was there, they'd come down right as soon as they get out of school, 3:30, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be right in the station. Boy, they want to take over now. They couldn't wait, you know, to get that rock on there. Elvis, you know, Hound Dog, you heard that until you're just about green.
Middle 50s.
Yeah.
Talking with Willie Anderson about the early days of radio in Dawson City, and the program is Talkback, and the number is 667-7891. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. We'll be glad to hear from you. We'll be back in a minute.
Here's a wonderful way to do something completely different. Have a traveling party. Atlas Travel offers a special tour to Skagway. In cooperation with the White Pass and Yukon route, Atlas suggests you leave Whitehorse in the morning, travel by train over the magnificent White Pass, and spend the night at the luxurious Klondike Hotel at Skagway, returning the next day. Price for the whole package only $36.50 per person, based on double occupancy, and includes return train fare, hotel, continental breakfast, luggage handling, transfers and taxes, and a lunch at Lake Bennett. Only $36.50, and a party that's entirely different. No driving, no cooking, just a lot of fun. Think about it for a moment. Have your party and not have to worry about cooking or driving, and at the same time enjoy some of the most wonderful scenery in the world. Have a party on the move. For further details, call Atlas Travel right now at 77824. 77824 for Atlas Travel.
That's the sound of a Polaris truck, heard from coast to coast, down the winding Alaska Highway, through the mountains and valleys of British Columbia, the long straight roads of our prairie provinces, the bustling centers of Ontario to the Atlantic provinces. Polaris drivers ensure your goods arrive at their destination safely. If your move is across the street or across the nation, Polaris can do it. Call 74322, Polaris Moving and Storage.
Willie, what was the range of the station in Dawson City?
Well, approximately, John, as far as we can understand, we got out to all the creeks, and they figured it out to between 70 to 75 miles. In fact, Ron Connolly was telling me that where our station was, there's a mountain right up, just upriver from Dawson, about a mile upriver, and it's a very high hill, and where he used to beacon in when he was coming in from Peel. He could pick us up and he'd beam in on it. Didn't matter how stormy it was, and he knew exactly where he'd land, right at the mouth of the Klondike, and he knew he just had to go up the Klondike to the airfield. But they figured 70 to 75.
So you reached most of the camps up
the
creeks?
Oh, yes, all these old-timers up the creeks, you met them all.
Yeah. Good morning, talk back.
Yes, could I talk to wee Willie, please?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'm looking at you, Willie. I didn't think you were so photogenic.
Oh, thank you very much, Alec. Sorry, are you getting all your good music that you like?
Yes, you know my voice. It's Alec Berry, all right?
Yes.
And your other buddy, Dave Ryan, is listening to you.
Oh, good for Dave.
Yes, sir.
We've been waiting for you for about a week.
You have? Well, isn't that wonderful? Thank you very much for calling.
And I was there on the Fred, Black Mike and the Fred Cayley business, quite correct.
Yes, that was quite an undertaking.
The old ham radio artist down there, I think we'll have to ask John Dumas to get some of the old hams there, Cameron, Viper Mass, myself, perhaps.
Oh, yes, yeah. He'll have them all on eventually.
We're trying to cover, Alec, as much ground as possible, and you're one of the fellows that I wanted to talk to and talk back, and will do one of these days. I'll certainly be in touch with you.
Yeah, okay.
Alec, thank you very much for calling. Rather sad note injecting into the program here, but I think it's apropos to the conversation, Willie. Sandy Brown from CKRW Newsroom just came in and whispered in my ear that we've received word up here of the death of William D. McBride on Saturday in the McBride Museum down here. Of course,
yes.
Is named after Bill McBride, and I knew him, or I had met him several times
before.
Yes,
I've met the man. Yeah.
He left. Do you have any idea how old Mr. McBride was?
Oh, he was in his late 70s, I'm sure.
Yeah,
yes.
Maybe even more than that, because... Yes. He did. He started the museum,
well,
and that
Helen
was his
Horvath
big thing.
Know,
Helen, yeah,
yes.
If Helen's listening, she might be able to give us a call, because Bill McBride did start the museum here, and you know, had to dig up a lot of the artifacts and that himself, and scrounge them, and really, that's why they named it after him, and that was his big contribution.
Yeah, well, I do a lot of that
Yukon
myself.
History. Yes, you know, this is something that's unique, Willie. Fellas like yourself that are interested in the Yukon, and there's quite a few around who will dig up artifacts, books, et cetera, and give them to the archives or donate them to the museums. I remember George Shaw, for instance, buying the old blacksmith shop in Dawson City and eventually turning it over to the historic sites.
Yes.
And he bought it just so a commercial operation wouldn't get
it's a wonderful blacksmith shop.
Yeah,
I used to go in there when Billy Biggs used to do the horses, you know, and talking to him. He was a fantastic man. And right across the street, later they made it into a laundry, and I don't know whether the building is still there or not, but he had a bicycle store, too. A lot of people rode bicycles, believe it or not. And you were asking me a question when we were off the air there a minute ago about one of my favorite little stories about the government. You know, a friend of mine, Jimmy, and I, at that time, we were quite heavy drinkers. And we tried a competition one year. It didn't work, though, John. Don't try it. We tried to drink the liquor store dry, and we just about get the shelves empty, as we thought, and then the government would bring in another boatload, which is very maddening, you know, because you're not working that often so you can keep paying, you know.
You'd have to start all over again.
You have to start all over again, and it's very maddening when the government does a trick like this, you know.
Well, they were noted in the North for being heavy drinkers and that. I guess drinking was a large part of the social life.
Well, that's what the whole social life was at that time, you know. You know, this is hard to believe. A lot of the people don't believe it. But when I first went to Dawson, there was 14 what they call cribs, or houses of ill repute, as some people would say. And these girls were, it's the only city in the world, John, that you got off the sidewalk for a husky and tipped your hat to a sporting lady. That's the way to put it. And you used to be able to go to these places, you know, and you could have a drink just the same as anywhere else, but they didn't cater business, tell you to come to my place, I'll give you a bigger drink or anything else. It was understood. They didn't
go to
dances.
There were 14 houses on operation.
There were 14 houses in operation at that time.
I was in Dawson City when the last one, I think the last one closed down in 1962.
Yep.
Good morning, talk back.
Well, I didn't really intend to be here, you know.
You're here, ma'am.
Yeah, Helen Horvath. I was just...
Hi, Helen.
Hi. And I haven't got my radio turned down, and they're both on, and I'm not going to go and turn them down, okay?
Well, that's okay.
Is it okay?
I
don't know how old Mr. McBride was. I've had about 3 phone calls. Mac would never tell us when he was born.
Is that right, eh?
But he must have been nearly 80 because he retired 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I would guess he was 65 or 67 then. Mm-hmm. And the second thing, while you've got Willie there, get him to tell you some of his dredging stories. They're really hilarious. We did a whole series, which Bill will remember, and I'm sure people would love to hear them again, aren't we?
Okay, Helen, we will do. As a matter of fact, you know, we're going to go overtime with this show, but it's obvious that Willie has a lot of information, a lot of stories that he could tell us, so we're going to look forward to having him back on with us.
Good.
Some later date so we can carry on.
Very good.
Helen, thanks very much for calling.
You're welcome.
Right. Helen Horvath, who's done a lot of work here with the local museum, and you, Bill McBride, or Mac McBride, and also has been involved in radio with CBC, and I think one of the finest lady commentators. At the
Helen
risk of distinguishing her as a lady commentator in Women's Lib and all that, she was really one of the finest in the country.
I did a series with Helen, traveling around the old days in Dawson, told her what Christmas was like, New Year's was like in Dawson. You know, people here, it's hard for people, newcomers especially here, to understand the people down in that part of the country. They, you know, if someone's home was burnt out, you know, they didn't have such a thing then as a Red Cross and everything else, you know, to help you, you know, if something happened, disaster thing. But if a cabin got burnt out, they'd phone up the radio station, you know, and they'd say, well, John so-and-so's cabin is burnt down, and he's lost everything. Mm-hmm. Any donations, send them to so-and-so. And, you know, they'd pretty near have a cabin for them and new clothing, everything, by the next day.
Everybody became
involved.
Everybody
gave everything that they possibly could. In fact, we had a service, John, that I've never heard done anywhere else on a community radio. You see, we only had the one switchboard operator. And when the fire siren went, that switchboard, the girl on the switchboard automatically, she'd get a call, you see, from the fire chief. And she would automatically phone the pumping station to raise the pressure on the lines. She'd phone the doctor and she'd phone the RCMP. Well, everybody wanted to know where the fire was. So we made this policy, if the operator would phone us and tell us where the fire was and when she wanted volunteers, and we would announce it on the radio, and we pounded this for quite a while, till people then, as soon as they heard the siren, they'd run and turn it on their radio if they didn't have it already on, and we'd tell them where the fire was and whether they needed volunteers. And this happened, we started this after I was sitting in a house 2 doors away from where a man had died with asphyxiation. And if they'd had something like this, we could have done something. At that time, we couldn't because we didn't know where it was. And it was foggy. It was 65 below, and it was foggy. You could hardly see across the street. And the fire engine was around looking for this house on fire. And it wasn't a man. It wasn't a house on fire. It was this man had got asphyxiated.
Talking with Willie Anderson about the early days in radio in Dawson City and about his years in the Yukon. The program is Talkback, and the number is 667-7891 if you have a question or a comment. We'll be glad to hear from you. We'll probably be running 15-20 minutes over time anyway, because certainly Willie's one of the most interesting guests that we've had in quite a while. We'll be back in just a minute.
The time is now to focus in on a colorful panorama of good ideas, marvelous eye-catching values for your home, for your family, a full range of merchandise that's right in focus with your budget. Yes, there's something about Simpson Sears' new spring and summer catalog you should look into. Rare, medium, well done. Just dial your favorite. No need to guess. Not when you own a Kenmore CompuTimer range. Focus in on page 658. See the great features of this Kenmore custom range. The continuous clean oven never really gets dirty. What a way to start in the spring with a value-packed range from Simpson Sears. Want everyday good values every day of the year? Focus to your new spring and summer catalog. Then choose, call, that's all. Simpson Sears.
Want to own a home? Your very own home? Well, Demas Realty may have your dream house right now. Demas can help you arrange the necessary financing to purchase a home suitable for your needs. Contact Demas Realty Limited, where they have your best interests in mind. Demas Realty, 210 Main Street, or phone 667-6461 today.
I was just saying to Willie that I'm going to ask him about the fellow he mentioned earlier during a break that cut off his feet.
Oh, that was Solomon Albert. How I happened to know about this was, at the time, my finger, this digit finger I have here, I got it crushed, and I was up in the hospital when I heard about this. And I noticed when this fellow walked, he walked just like you walk on your heels. This gives you an idea. And Dr. Alan Duncan was the surgeon, and he was looking at my finger. And I asked him, I said, what's the matter with that fellow? Well, he told me the story. Is that Solomon Albert was up at a trapping way up in the White River country. He was around 200 miles away from Dawson. And he froze his feet. And he didn't pay, as we all do, we get careless, and he didn't pay any attention. And his feet started to bother him. So he looked at his feet and his toes, he saw gangrene was setting in. So he decided that he'd better do something about it because it was too far to go back, and his dog. So he went and got a bunch of dog food and cooked all the dog food up, filled his cabin full of wood, and he sharpened up his axe and got a poker and put it in the stove. And then he went out and he froze his feet again. And he put his feet on the block and he cut his toes right off, and then he seared them. And Alan Duncan told me that he couldn't have done a better job himself in the surgery than what he did, cutting his own feet off. But there's a funny little note with it, is that he had a partner that used to visit him every year and stop in on his way to Dawson, you see, in the spring. So when he got there in the spring, he sees all these bear tracks all around the door of the cabin open, the fire was out and everything else, and he thought, oh boy, the bears have got him, the bears have got him. So he thought, I'll get that bear. So he tied his dogs up, and away he goes with his snowshoes following these bear tracks. And when he gets away up in the hills, this is in the spring of after he'd cut his feet off, and here's Solomon Albert walking around with a pair of bear's feet on. He'd made himself a pair of mucklucks with the feet of a bear, and he left the nails in.
Ha!
He was a fantastic man.
When did he pass on?
I don't know exactly when. I was up here by then.
Fantastic. You know. Good morning, Talkback.
Can I speak to Wee Willie, please?
Go right ahead.
Yes.
Hello, Bill Anderson.
Yes, ma'am.
I got a little bone to pick with you.
Oh, is that so?
Well, when you first arrived in Dawson City, I just wanted to remind you when I was a waitress in the Arcade Cafe, and you come in there and you call me. When you come in, you said, "Hello, you old beggar puss."
Oh, yes, that's Edith. That's Edith. I believe it's Edith, isn't
that's
it?
That's right.
Yes, and how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine, thank you.
Good.
I just want you to know that I haven't forgotten that.
35 years ago.
That was over 40 years ago.
And that's
and
a long time ago.
I was a little bit better looking then than I am now.
Oh, is that so? Oh, we're all, you know, as I always tell my wife, you know, aren't you lucky you're married to such a handsome chap?
Yeah. And since you arrived in White Horse, I have never seen you, but good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Edith.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much for calling. But Helen Horback wanted to ask about dredging stories. What would she be referring to?
Oh, there's many, many dredging stories. The one that always did tickle me, there was a man there, he was a bull boss called Jack Pluth. And when he was working, regardless of what job he was doing, he had this pipe. He always smoked this pipe, and he had it right in the center of his mouth, you know. And this day, we were changing the bow line on the dredge. And the bow line, when you pick the bucket line up, you see, there's a big shiv comes out of the water, which pulls the dredge back and forth. And he was standing on it, so somebody inadvertently put their hand up, and the winchman let the line go, which took the slack out, and down he went into the dredge pond. Mm-hmm. Up he come, and he was a puffing and a snorting there. Who was the so-and-so idiot that dropped the line? He puffing away on his old pipe, blow the water out, you know. Oh, yeah. He was a fantastic man. Another thing he did was one of the kids was saying to him one night, he says, "Look at my gloves." He says, "They're worn out again." He said, "Well..." He has his pipe, you know, "Well," he says, "if you weren't so damn lazy," he says, "you'd pull on the line instead of letting it drag through your gloves." this is the type of fellas you met.
Did you ever work in gold mining?
Oh, yes.
Operation?
Oh, sure. Everybody has that. That's not a job, John. That's a disease.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You once, well, Cal Waddington, he was down at Dawson. He worked down there under me when he first started.
I remember
radio.
That, yeah.
And my wife and I took him up Bonanza. He wanted to go panning. So it was getting dark, you see, and I said, "Well, come on, let's go." You know, after a while, you get, blasé about these things. Mm-hmm. And, no, one more pan, he said, "just one more pan. You know, you get a few colors in the bottom." "Well, come on, come on." I said, "we can come back." "No, one more pan. I get a bigger pan next time." This is what it's like. It's a disease. It grows on you. You just can't do anything about it. I saw number four dredge. That's the old original number four when it was in the mouth of Hunker Creek. I was working on number three. Our old number two dredge, and Gus Nelson, he was a gold man, he came in, we were eating supper at 11:30 at night, and he said, "you fellas want to work overtime?" We said, "sure." At that time, you know, wages weren't very big, you get about $4, $4.50 a day, and we said, "sure." He said, "well, they got a clean up on number four." We went up there, and I've never seen so much gold in all my life. Hmm. The tables were solid, all the tables were solid, just pure yellow. They took off 1,600 ounces in that one clean up, and she dug another 12 hours and took off another 1,500. It went on like this for, I think it was 2 weeks, something like 2 weeks.
It was unusual at this late date in the mining operation.
Well, at that time, you see, how it happened, I was working, before I got on the dredge, I was working on the pole line. I was working, Alec Hill was the pole line boss then. Dave Ryan, he was up at North Fork. And I was on number four dredge, and we were changing the lines. You see, what they used to do, they'd move, the dredge would move so far ahead, then you'd put a spur line in, and then you'd hook them up again, you know, to go on so much longer digging, you see. And we were there, and Ed Juno was the dredge master, and Bill Grafton said to him, "gee, there's nothing coming up in this bucket. Look at this, and this is supposed to be a real rich place, you know." So Jonas says, "well," he says, "I don't know." He says, "it's supposed to be rich ground through here." And Grafton says, "well, I'll drop her real hard, and maybe it'll take a good chunk out of the bottom." Well, he hit it. He dropped it, this bucket line, which you can tell, the bucket line and the ladder is about 350 ton. And he hit when he dropped it, it hit, and it broke through. And they were on a false bedrock, and they hit the gold underneath. And boy, I'll tell you, from then on, you could see it in the buckets coming up.
Fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Talking about the early days in radio, but we're also talking about not the early days in Dawson City, but 30 years ago in Dawson City with Willie Anderson of CBC Radio. If you have any questions or if there's anything particularly you'd like to get Willie going on, give us a call here at 77891. The show is Talkback. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you looking for menu ideas? Drop into T&D's Food Fair. They have specials in their meat department that'll perk up a dull winter's day. Round steak or roast and boneless rump roast is $1.39 a pound. Minute steaks are $1.69 a pound. And pork shoulder roasts are only 69 cents a pound. For a quickly prepared meal, try ready-to-serve hams, whole or shank halves at 79 cents a pound. Shop T&D's Food Fair and cash in on the low, low prices. T&D at 1st and Main.
The White Horse Inn is probably familiar to you, but let me take you for a quick tour. In here, we have the restaurant. And in here, we have the Gold Nugget Lounge. Then around here, we have the tavern. Now upstairs, where it's quiet, we have single and double rooms, comfortably appointed and carpeted wall to wall. All this for your enjoyment at the White Horse Inn on Main Street.
Good morning, Talkback.
Yeah, is we Willie there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, do you remember Arnold Sherbineau that used to be a purchasing agent up there for the Gold Commission?
I knew of an Sherbineau, but I didn't know him very well.
Oh, yeah. He bought a place off my folks down in Red Deer, Alberta, and I was down there a couple of years ago, and his wife had Parkinson's disease, and he was asking about all the old dredging and all the old times up here. He used to remember quite a bit of this as well.
Yes.
He'd probably know you quite well.
Oh, probably. You know, there's so many people that we knew that worked for the government, and you only saw them short times. You see, myself, I was out of town most of the time, except the first year, and then I was in town. After that, I worked out in the creeks.
I think he was in town most of the time. You know, he was worked out of the town as a purchasing agent. He went down, anyhow, after he left here, he went down there, and they bought a lumber yard, and he'd done quite well for himself, and then his wife got pretty sick, and I don't know whether she's still alive now or not. He remembered quite well about all this, and she even remembered quite a bit about it. She told me about when they went up to Dawson City the first time, that they went up on the riverboat, you know, and her girl was about the same age as what I was, and I thought this was really something. I think it was about the last riverboat that was running when they went up.
Oh, that would be in the early 50s.
Yeah.
Yes. There was a lot of people, you know, moved in and out before they moved the government down to here. There was bigger staffs. You see, when I joined the Army, all there was in the income tax department was Chris Grant and a fellow named Livingston.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this Livingston.
And when I came back from the Army, I went upstairs and practically there was about 30 people working in the income tax department.
Uh-huh.
You see, it changed so much, you know, in that 2.5 years I was out that it was hard to believe there's so many people there.
Yeah, I suppose it changed quite a bit. Yeah.
Buildings up there.
Yeah.
You know, it was really quite interesting.
Fantastic things used to happen, eh?
Oh, yeah. We had one radio announcer that was a French-Canadian, and he could hardly speak English. And I'll never forget the time they had this hockey game between the services up here. And you know how there was an awful lot of hard feeling then between the services in town.
High spirit.
They were terrific games. And this French-Canadian was on, and he was broadcasting the game, and it was just a scream because he was going on and he'd say, "There they go, down the ice," and then after it was all over, he'd say they scored, and you don't know who scored or what was. It was really funny, yeah, but we really enjoyed it. Those were good days, you know?
Yeah, they sure were. Well, thank you very much for calling and talking
you.
With us. No, here's a like giving a partial score of a hockey game. 1.
Oh, yes.
Good morning, Talkback. Good morning, Talkback.
Good morning.
You're on the air, sir.
Can I speak to Bill Henderson?
Go right ahead. Hello.
You mentioned a good many old-timers in Dawson when you were running the radio there.
Yes.
You forgot one good old friend of yours who was a disc jockey for you.
Who's that?
Taffy Williams.
Oh, Taffy. Oh, yes, Elwin. I worked with Elwin a good many years, too. And he also worked for CBC for a while as a casual announcer.
Uh-huh.
He was very good. Elwin, you know, is still one of my better friends. I always go to visit him when I'm in Dawson, which I hope to do sometime later this month. I'm not positive as yet. But he used to enjoy, he liked playing good music himself. He has quite a collection down in Dawson City. Of course, his is mostly in...
How about getting Taffy and his records down here for a program sometime?
Well, I think it'd be pretty hard to jar him loose from Dawson City because he's working. He has a steady job there, and I don't think he'd move down here.
Sir, how long have you been around the Yukon?
Since 1935.
1935. Uh-huh. Just about 40 years, 38 years.
Tell Bill I was a great friend of Chappie's.
Oh, which Chappie?
Chapman at the store, Virginia's father.
Oh, yes, I know who you mean now, yes. That's Joey Redmond's grandfather.
That's right.
Yes, he was killed in an air crash out at the airfield at Fournier's Ranch.
That's right.
When he was taking off to go to Hungry Lake, I think it was 1941.
Uh-huh. And he knew he was down in that store that Virginia had there, was selling everything out there.
Yes, he was quite a man to deal with, you know. You could go into Chappie, and regardless, if your credit was no good anywhere else in Dawson City, which is a hard thing not to have, was credit there, If you wanted to borrow $5, you could borrow it without a bat of an eye.
Sir, thank you very, very much for calling. Good morning, talk back.
Oh, good morning. Is Mr. Anderson there?
Oh, right ahead.
Oh, Mr. Anderson, could you give us some recollections on an old fellow up in Dawson by the name of Don McDonnell and what you knew of him during those early years?
Oh, Don McDonnell, you mean the present Don McDonnell?
Yeah, he's still alive and healthy and going strong, but I just wondered if you knew him back in the early days and what he did in those days.
Well, when I knew Donnie, he was winching over at 60 Mile.
Oh, he was on the dredges all the time.
He was on the dredges all the time I knew Donnie. Outside of in the wintertime, of course, we were all great friends socializing, you know, and all these
right.
places, all the things that went on during the winter. But Donnie McDonnell, when I knew him, he is a terrific dredge man, really. He used also the old style of dredging, which they called a headline. Mm-hmm. And we don't use that method now. They use what they call a spud at the back of the dredge. And you're, to give you an idea, is... the present way of dredging, and it makes the loop away from you. Your curve is away from you, but with a headline, the curve is to you, if
oh,
you
yeah.
understand what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And using a headline, you had to know your business. He was pretty clever.
How old a man would he be?
Don is
68 now, Hank.
Yeah, he's about the same age as myself.
Yeah.
We're young fellows yet.
Right. Thanks very much, Willie.
Thank you very much
for calling. Good morning. Talk back.
Yeah, John, I asked Willie how he made out with that bus there when he went back to the radio station there. I'll hang up. And
with what?
The bus. The Army bus. We was in the station at the time. And the bus went to the... down over the hill there when it was up in the Army area here. And the bus back to the window.
Of the radio station?
Yeah.
No,
it might not have been there but at the time, but the radio station was going then.
Well, that's the one here in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, Willie was up in
I was in Dawson,
Dawson City
yeah.
at the time.
Yeah,
but maybe some of the volunteer announcers from that day remember and could give us a call on it. Thanks very much. We got another nine minutes. We can go until 12:30 with the show, and certainly the indications are that we will. The calls are coming in fast and furious. Good morning, talk back.
Good morning. This is getting a little off the subject, but I was down shopping on Saturday, and I thought this would be interesting,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure other people have experienced the same thing. I was down at Tour Services shopping, and I had my four children with me, and I got my groceries and put them in the car, and I left a bag of potatoes right beside the car.
Yeah?
I drove away. And a lady in a camper was right ahead of me, and she stopped and said, told me, you know,
yeah.
you've dropped your potatoes. So I went right back and to get them, and they were gone.
You're kidding?
No.
That's really unusual.
Well, I went back in and said, had anybody seen them? And they said, oh, no. But I must say, Tour Services did give me another 20 pounds of potatoes.
They did, eh?
Yes, they did.
Okay, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you very much
Bye-bye.
For calling. Good morning, talk back.
Yeah, Bill. How
Hello.
You doing?
Oh, very well.
This is an old announcer from... early days in Whitehorse. No
oh, yes.
volunteer. You don't recognize my voice, Billy?
No.
Okay, well, just be a good boy and be careful what you say, you know.
when did you work here?
I was
radio?
Here in the 40s, John,
Is
and
that right,
volunteer for the Army.
Well,
and they wanted to put me off the air because I was the only one in Whitehorse that owned the Squaws Along the Yukon record I had sent to me from the States. And, of course, I took it up on my program, and it was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And the Army didn't think it was very good as I was degrading to the Indians and what have you. And so they said, well, if I didn't quit playing it, that I'd have to go off the air. So I resigned and said I was sorry that I had to resign, but that I couldn't, you know, volunteer my time for people that had a mind like that. So anyway, do you know who it is, Bill?
No, I can't say.
Okay,
it sounds
well,
like...
take her easy. I've known you for a good long time.
You want to tell us who it is?
I've been in the Yukon for 68 and a half
oh,
years.
Oh, I know who it is.
68
no,
and a half
okay,
years.
Okay, Martha.
Okay, Bill.
Hold it now. Don't go away now, Martha. 68 and a half years. Where did you, have you lived all that time in Whitehorse, or where
no,
did you live?
No, I've only been here a short while, John, about 22 years in Whitehorse, the rest of the time in Dawson City.
Is that
isn't
right?
Isn't that a wonderful city, though?
Isn't it, though?
Oh, yes, and that trip you and
However,
Ken...
However, Bill...
Yes.
Most of what you and I know would never go on the air.
Oh, that's for sure, Martha. Thanks
Martha,
for calling.
Can we get you to come on the air sometime and
well,
talk with
I
us?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to be just about on my deathbed before I tell you most of what I know.
we're going to have to find you and get you on talk back with us.
Okey-doke, then. Well, you're doing a good job there, Bill.
Thank you very much,
okay,
Martha.
Okay, bye.
Thank you
bye.
Very much for calling.
You know, that
68
lady...
68 and a half years in the Yukon.
That lady talking about spuds, I can tell you a story about spuds up at Snag when we were there. After we'd moved up from down at the roadhouse, I moved up with a radio operator. They figured he might go off his rocker, you know, being by himself up there. This Magnus Halson. So we were in this little shack they had there. It had all the grub kept there, you see, and they'd bring it back and forth with the dog team. So we're laying there one night, it was over 60 below, and I hears this clatter, 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 and I says to Maggie, I says, what's that noise? He says, what noise? He says, I can't hear nothing. So he listened, and there was a, I said, there it is. He says, I don't know, let's have a look. So we got up, and we only had the one light, you see, so we had to shut one light out, and you turn the other light on in the other room. You see, we had this little generator, and we went out the back, and it was a horse. Old, what the heck did they call a horse? Sandy. Oh, he had hair on him, oh, just like a wool like this, you know. And here he had a spud in his mouth, rolling it around and around. It just sounded like a pea in a can.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is one of the horses they had up in that area.
Fantastic. Talking with Wee Willie Anderson, and talking about the early days in radio and the early days in the Yukon, certainly, or 30 years ago, at least, in the Yukon. And our program is Talk Back. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes to go. The number 77891. Still time to get a call in if you like. We'll be back in a minute.
Come look at Woolworth, big, bright, and new. The fun place for shopping, terrific values too.
During the 8 months that the Woolworth store was in business in 1972, they held a monthly $1.44 day. Its success was largely due to the fact that the Whitehorse customers realized they're receiving honest bargains for their money. 73 is now here, and so is $1.44 day tomorrow, with the doors open at 9 a.m. This is a one-day sale, so take advantage of such bargains as loose leaf refills, the 250-count pack for $1.44. Vaseline Intensive Care Lotion in the big 14-ounce bottle with dispenser pump for $1.44. And the Papermate Malibu Ballpoint Pen, one day only, two for $1.44. Plan your shopping trip around lunchtime and take advantage of our lunch counter special. The hot pork sandwich, vegetable, french fries, gravy, jello, and tea or coffee complete for $1.44. Tomorrow's the day, $1.44 day at Woolworth.
Shop Woolworth, there's more than ever before in your fun-filled Woolworth store. Go Woolworth.
Whitehorse Motors, your exclusive Yamaha dealer, has a limited number of 73 Yamaha snowmobiles on sale. The price of these fine Yamaha machines ranges from $800 up, and prices have been reduced to sell. Whitehorse Motors must make room for a complete new line of 1973 Yamaha motorcycles and trail bikes. Yamaha means quality, and Whitehorse Motors means service. Together, the quality and service can't be beat anywhere. That's Whitehorse Motors, 4th and Wheeler, your exclusive Yamaha dealer.
Good morning, talk back.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Cousins again.
Hi, Zoe.
She seems to be in everything, doesn't she?
Oh, that's all right.
So we were talking about some of the old announcers that were here.
Yeah?
And I was one of them, too, as well as you, and I still have my little pin,
mm-hmm.
like Willie has. And also, I was the live program for ladies, and did fashions and recipes and what have you, as well as being a librarian and a secretary.
How long ago was that, Zoe?
I was 49, 50.
Here in Whitehorse, eh?
Yeah.
Do you remember the bus going through the radio station?
No, I was trying to think of that.
Yeah, I can't either.
I can't remember that at all, and I've been digging around and...
We'll have to try and track that story down.
Yeah, in the memory bank, but the memory bank isn't working.
Zoe, thanks very much for giving us
right,
a call
thank
again.
Thank you.
Good yeah. And Reed Berquist says, wrap her up, fellas. He's been sitting there. Reed's been in radio for 7 or 8 years, but he's been sitting there fascinated with some of your stories. I can tell by the twinkle in his eye. And the lines are plugged, and unfortunately we have to wind up. But Willie, go ahead.
I have one story to tell you, John, about buses. In Dawson, we had another community service. You see, the bus used to go from Dawson out to Bear Creek to pick the children
yeah.
up for the schools. Well, when it was cold weather, I used to tell them on the air, the bus is now past Dawson. It's exactly 20 minutes to 9. When it would get to Bear Creek, it'd pick the kids up. And then I'd tell them again when the bus was going past, for the kids going to the school. Well, one day it didn't pass at 9:05. I said, the bus has not arrived yet. And before we knew it, there was cars going from Dawson, cars from Bear Creek. It had broken down. It was 62 below.
Oh, boy.
It had broken down on the tailing piles, the motor. And luckily, Billy Crayford kept the kids in the car, in the bus. And these people came from all areas and picked the kids
so
up.
The help
and
went
them
right
in.
Away.
Oh, yes.
We've got to wrap up very quickly in time for the news. Wee Willie Anderson has been our guest. He's with CBC now. He's been in radio longer than anybody in the Yukon. We're going to have him back on Talk Back. Willie, thanks very much for being with us. A reminder to our listeners that tomorrow, Herb Taylor and the Deputy Registrar of the Yukon, Dave Bradbury, I believe it is, will be with us on Talk Back if you've got any questions about the new licensing system. That's been your Talk Back program for Monday, January 15th. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Until then, this is John Dumas saying thank you for being with us and have a good day.
The opinions and views expressed on TalkBack are not necessarily those of the station staff or management of WHTV or CKRW. TalkBack is meant for the free expression of the public. The news is next.
This is the news.
Good afternoon. At 12:30, under overcast skies and light snow, it's 28 degrees below zero. Sandy Brown reporting the news for the Yukon Electrical Company.
Have you ever been on radio before?
No, my first time.
Well, let me explain what we're going to do here.
All right, fine.
First of all, we do our interviews with two microphones.
Two microphones?
Right. You have a mic and I have a mic. Now, these mics are immobile.
They're where?
They're fixed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, they're stationary.
Oh, you said fixed? I thought...
No, they're fixed in place.
I had my car fixed the other day.
Yes, well, now, you're familiar with the Yukon Electrical Company.
I try to be.
Right, and I understand you know some of the folks who work for them.
Yes, I am.
You are?
Yes, I do.
Well, whichever. I'll give you a special prize if you can name two Yukon Electrical employees.
Let's see. Would he...
That's right! Jim Wood! Okay, one more.
Let's see. There's John... No, there's John Sun.
Right again! There. Brian Johnson! Here you go, and congratulations from Yukon Electrical Company. Nice people for over 70 years.
Let's see. There's also, what's
the Yukon Electrical Company Limited, serving the Yukon since 1901.
A longtime Yukoner, for whom the McBride Museum was named after, has died in Vancouver in his early 80s. William D. McBride worked for years on the museum that now bears his name. He had been in a nursing home for the last several years in Vancouver. Helen Horbeck of the Historical Society says she's not sure of McBride's age at the time of his death, but that he was close to 80. Mr. McBride died January 12th in Vancouver. He will be buried on Wednesday. The approval of six more projects under the federal government's local initiatives program were announced today, bringing the total Yukon expenditure to $230,000, $30,000 more than the original Yukon money allocation. The six announced today include $26,000 to the Beaver Creek Community Club for a beautification of the community, a skidoo track and park, and a ski run and toboggan run. $13,000 to the Yukon Wing Royal Canadian Air Force Association for improvements to their hall, $15,000 to the town of Faro for the clearing of burnt areas, $7,600 to the city of Whitehorse for development of a recreational area around Hidden Lake in Porter Creek, $15,000 to the city of Whitehorse for a traffic study and street sign survey, as well as salvage of waterworks fittings from surplus piles. The last of the six approvals today goes to the Atlin District Board of Trade for the clearing of approaches to the airport and development of other community and recreational facilities, a total of $20,660. Ernie St-